Okay.
Hello, patrons. We're all here. Sarah Lane is here.
Hello.
Roger Chang is here.
Greetings.
And Len Peralta is here.
Hello.
So there you go.
We're Goodbye. Here. See you later, guys.
Everybody. All right.
Nice
thanks,
seeing
everybody.
You.
Good night.
That's all you get.
That was fun.
So, Len, we've been doing a better job of giving you less abstract things to draw. But today
sure.
Kind of go either way. I'm not sure how you're feeling about it.
Oh, I do. I like it a lot, actually. Today's should be, I don't know. It's a little bit, you know, rather than be kind of goofy, it's a pretty serious subject, I think.
Actually, you and Roger should weigh in on our discussion topic, both.
Yeah, if I hear something, I will, for sure.
Because the childless people having their conversation about it seems a little
well for sure I'm dealing with it in you know like times four or five you know yeah. So
you're gonna have a generation of nearsighted people. I stand by that assertion. I know Tom thinks.
Oh, my family is done. They're already, you know, all glasses wearing kids, so. Except for my daughter.
I mean,
who,
no,
by the
I
way, here's something interesting. So like so my older daughter, she's 16. She is gone for 2 weeks at this in Bemidji, Minnesota, at this camp. It's a Russian-speaking camp.
Whoa, so it's total
immersion, right? Yeah. Like, they don't speak English. It's
Molodets.
Yeah, sure. pretty crazy. So by the end of when she gets back, either she was going to hate it or she's going to love it. But one of the things about it that I found out before she left was that they do this thing where she actually got like a fake passport and a picture. And so it's almost like you are traveling to another country. And then, but one of the things they do is they take her phone away. So the kids can't text.
Wow, it really is like Russia.
Exactly. It's like a gulag. Right. But I thought that's going to be the hardest part for her, I think, which is, you know, not having a tethered connection for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy. Well, my brother just he lives up in Wisconsin, and they just went camping this weekend. And part of camping, even though they would have got reception, they both agreed to turn off their phones. And he's like, "It was great. I loved it."
Yeah.
I always say that I'm going to do that because I live close to the beach, and so I I would go out there and do some work. And I think,
right.
you know, one of these days I'm going to go out there without my phone and just the book and the towel.
Yeah, yeah.
That hasn't happened yet.
One of these days,
after,
though,
you know, a year and a half, but I'm working my confidence.
Yeah,
that if I miss a call, my life won't end.
You start by just walking out there without your phone, and then walk right back inside, and then
exactly,
and go for a little longer the next time. Yeah.
It's sort of like starting a running program. You know, you walk for a couple minutes, and then you.
I can have pretty good discipline. I can have it, and I keep it because I'm paranoid that either my dad or some sort of family emergency crops up. But if on the views on the screen it says, like, you know, it's just a bunch of Facebook updates, I won't unlock the
phone. Oh, I don't have Facebook notifications on. That's
oh gosh, me either. No way, can't do it. I dip in and out. The notification thing, at least I have control over, because you ever be at a brunch with a friend, you know, and their phone is just like,
I just think
like, it's not even that I'm annoyed. I just don't know how you live that way.
Yeah.
Well, my phone doesn't go off with it. Like it'll flash, but unless it's an actual like voicemail, it won't buzz or make a noise on those.
I remember my brother-in-law, not to out him too much, but this was years ago, maybe 5 years ago. He was staying with us. And he had his phone set to ding every time he got an email.
Yeah, that's no good.
And it was just basically like, you know, every couple of minutes, ding, ding. Oh, yeah. I'm like, how does that help you? Like, I don't know. Yeah.
I always have mine on mute. Like there's a lot of stuff that comes through, but I never ever have the audio on. Just because I'm so dumb. Like, I get all kinds of stupid, you know, reminders and all kinds of dumb games.
I by default say no to notifications when I install a new app, and sometimes it comes back to bite me because people are like, "Hey, I've been trying to get a hold of you on WhatsApp or whatever," right? And I'm like, "Oh, I don't have notifications on.
I should probably turn those on."
Or I have this smart oven, and I don't know why, but I was like, "Nope, no notifications ever on any app." It was just habit. And then, as of course, I'm like, hey, why isn't this thing letting me know that it's
my casserole's burning?
Yeah. Oh, right. Because I said no notifications.
How am I supposed to know when it's done? Speaking of oven, we're getting an oven delivered today.
Not now, Luce.
No, between 4 to 8.
His name's Len.
Sorry.
So
I won't be talking to my cats during the afternoon.
Totally switching gears here.
Right in the middle of Top Story.
I went
Not
out to
now, Luce.
I went out to a movie last night. I am season ticket holders at the Broadway and Cleveland series here. And one of the perks is that they have these movies for the next 3 weeks. So they have they're playing The Shining.
Oh, like classic movies. That's cool.
Classic movies. Yeah. Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Last night was Singing in the Rain, mm-hmm. which I had never seen before.
Oh, wow.
You've never seen it?
Never seen it. I mean,
I've never seen it.
I mean, my mom made us watch it all the time because she loved it. So.
Here's how removed I am from it. The only scene I knew was obviously the Gene Kelly Singing in the Rain scene. I had no idea who the characters were. I didn't know the story. Nothing. So I walked down. It was really cool. Like, I just sat down. I'm like, I'm going to watch this film to watch the
film. No spoilers.
Exactly. It was amazing. And I was like, this is an incredible film. Like, just... It just really holds up. Fantastic, great venue. But yeah, everybody's like, what? You've never seen that film? Like, yeah.
You're like, don't tell me how it ends.
Didn't know. I was like,
I know there's rain. That's all I know.
I thought that was going to be the whole movie. Like him, you know.
Just going singing in the rain the entire time.
A drain. He's under a drain. And but it
I mean, none of
you've
these
never
jokes
seen
make
it there. You've so you've never seen it.
No, I know sort of the, I'm singing in the rain. That's it.
That's where Len was.
That's where I was. You should see it. It's great. It's fantastic. Yeah. It's okay. It's almost like saying to somebody, I never saw The Wizard of Oz.
And you know, I meet people all the time who say that.
How could you never that's seen crazy. Like that's crazy to me. Like you've never seen The Wizard of Oz. Yeah.
When I was a kid, The Wizard of Oz and like Raiders of the Lost Ark and Sound of Music, we had like bootleg ripped off of like Betamaxes, you know, and and it was like those were the three movies that I could watch.
Well, and Sound of Music and Wizard of Oz were on television once a year too.
Yeah, right.
On top of you having the bootlegs of
in
them.
In fact,
so.
I know this because the copy of the Sound of Music we had taped off the TV, you know, just like pressed pause during commercial breaks. But I lived in the middle of the woods. We didn't have cable or anything. And during the sort of last scene where the Nazis are chasing them, there was like a thunderstorm or something. So like it gets all weird
fussy.
Because we just had an antenna on the top of our house. And right. So it was just like, that was the version of the movie I always knew.
You loved those effects that they used to intensify the chase scene.
It kind of worked.
Yeah.
You know you you mentioned
so
that
it's like the scary part.
Yeah.
Some of these movies were annual events, sort of like Wizard of Oz and Sound of Music. Did you ever live in a city where Thanksgiving they played King Kong? Like I remember that was a big deal.
No.
Like Thanksgiving night, King Kong.
See, I think of Thanksgiving as The Godfather. That's my Thanksgiving.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I don't remember what we did Thanksgiving evenings. I really don't.
It was usually like an event on or something.
Well, because Thanksgiving, traditionally when I was a kid, was we would go to my grandparents' house. My grandma would make, you know, dinner. But we had it in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
We didn't have it at night.
Football.
And then football, right? Thursday night football or Thursday football with the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys were usually, traditionally, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd go back home.
Games? Nothing? You wouldn't play games?
I have no idea. I have no recollection of what we did.
See,
we
for
probably
us,
got abducted
was,
by aliens every year on Thanksgiving.
King Kong was on, I remember, for a few years on Channel 43 here in Cleveland, and it was a big deal. And it was, we didn't have cable at the time, so we had like the antenna, so it was like sort of trying to get it to show up. And
see, that was Saturdays on Channel 11 in St. Louis. They would do Ma and Pa Kettle, The Bowery Boys, Abbott and Costello, and then King Kong. Some kind of King Kong or Godzilla movie.
Oh, so you are familiar with this King Kong thing.
Yeah, but it was a Saturday thing on Channel 11, not on Thanksgiving.
Got it.
Yeah, it was a big deal. They would only ever play it on Thanksgiving, which is...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when I was very young, I didn't have cable, so I wasn't watching The Godfather anywhere. And I was a little too young for that anyway. But ever since I can remember, they play all the Godfathers on Thanksgiving on, it's like AMC or something, doing it for years. And I watch it every year.
Wow. We last year on July 4th, we started watching this Godzilla marathon on the El Rey network.
What's that?
El Rey is a... what's his face? Robert Rodriguez's network.
Oh, right.
So they just show grindhouse movies.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, and classic monster movies and stuff like that.
Wow. That's cool.
And so yeah, so they did a Godzilla marathon last year on July 4th. So we did watch that because it was loud and it would help drown out the firework sounds for the dogs. This year we tried watching old Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Also something I've never seen.
The movie you can skip watching.
But I haven't seen the TV show either.
None of them?
I mean, I've probably like been at someone's house when an episode was on, when it was actually on television. But no, considering what a cult hit and how beloved it is by many of my friends, I've just never dipped into it.
What about X-Files?
X-Files I watched.
Okay.
Yeah, I watched that. That was the Sunday night thing. Didn't miss it.
It was on Sunday nights.
Mm-hmm. It used to be on Friday nights at first.
Okay. Well, plus that was at a time when I didn't have weekends off, so probably felt like the middle of the week.
Yeah,
because I used to watch The X-Files, Whose Line Is It Anyway, Star Trek The Next Generation.
Star Search.
All the syndicated shows.
I liked Star Search. That was a show.
I love Star Search. It was great. Yeah.
It was
I used
great.
To watch it for the stand-up comedians. Because at the time, we didn't have cable, so there weren't a lot of stand-up shows on broadcast networks. And so that was kind of the only place you could watch it, other than like staying up until 11.
Yeah. It was just, I mean, it was so hokey. I just loved it.
The spokesmodel things were ridiculous. Like, I think, oh, that's an actual talent because you have to do the swimsuit,
right?
You have to do a speech, and there was one other thing you had to do. And
that was on Star Search?
Yeah. They would, like, literally, like, the judges would, like, pick the better one.
It was the original American Idol.
The original American Idol. The original American Idol is a show called Stairway to Stardom.
I have seen it religiously.
Yes, it's great, isn't it?
It's Stairway to Stardom. It was a cable access show out of New York.
Yes.
And it's this guy who looked like, it was done in the early 80s, and it looks it.
Wasn't there a 60s era one too?
No, this aired from totally 78 to 92.
I thought there was like a singing competition show in the 60s, but.
This isn't a competition.
It's just a talent show.
Yeah.
It's like a recital for the local.
It's so good.
No, it's so bad. That's what makes it.
I know, but it's. I mean, it's.
The guy looks like a lounge act that he decided, like, you know, I'm going to do a local cable access version upstairs of my house that I've in the studio.
Yeah, and then there's just a lot of. There's a lot
bad
of.
Bad dancing, bad singing.
Bad dancing, bad comedians. Bad singing, and then the Frank Massey. That's the guy's name.
Frank Massey.
He'll sometimes have a really strange interaction with the guest. Very young, like a young girl, kiss the girl on the lips. Like that was a thing.
The whole thing is just typically, it's like, oh, that's totally like late.
Breaking news, folks. Despacito is now officially the most viewed YouTube video of all time.
Wow. Despacito.
Seven.
Never even heard of it.
Was Psy still number one all the time?
No, Wiz Khalifa, See You Again from Furious 7 had passed Psy.
Yes.
Despacito.
Yeah, what Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee's Despacito.
Yeah.
I gotta know what that is.
It's that Justin Bieber song. Originally not a Justin Bieber song. It's an old song, but
featuring.
Yeah. I don't watch a lot of music videos. I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either. So who's watching it?
2-3 million people are watching it, Len.
The millennials.
I guess. Sure. Hey. They're watching it on their phones, which goes right into today's story.
Just let me know when you go, the live stream goes live, Tom, and I'll tweet it.
Oh, well, it's live. Sorry. I took us live a couple minutes ago, but you guys were so into talking, I forgot to mention it.
I'm hiding, just so you know.
And we, yeah, we got a minute before we'll start.
Hello. Cool.
Start the show. Bum,
bum, bum, well, I'm thrilled.
Well, you weren't doing anything stardom. Like, your video was presentable.
Yeah.
You know, it's from all of our time at Twitch. I know
just,
that
he is to the camera
whether now. Or not a show is officially on or not, you yeah. have to.
Well, and I feel like because we're recording audio at that point, it's really not that yeah. much of a change to add the video.
Nah.
Yeah. During the Sarah has to put on her top for the video portion of it.
Why did you go live before I got dressed?
I wasn't looking at the video. I'm sorry. No, okay. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Daily Tech News Show is powered by its audience, not outside organizations. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Friday, August 4th, 2017. I'm Tom Mara. Joining me today, very excited to have Miss Sarah Lane back
Hello.
On the show. How's it going?
It's going good. Yeah, you know, I've been on DTNS at some point in the past, but it's been years.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Yeah, so You've I'm really busy. Happy to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. And of course, Len Peralta here to illustrate the show. Like old times, Len.
Just like old times. Missed you last week, but... back in the seat and ready to it is Hat Friday.
Oh right, Sarah, did I not mention that it's Hat Friday? I apologize.
No, you didn't. But as luck would have it, I actually
do. You have one handy?
I have just the hat.
Oh boy.
Oh wow. Oh,
that hurts, Sarah.
Happens to just be the
2017 the, NBA Finals Golden State
I don't
Warriors
know if you
hat.
Follow the NBA, but very special.
You know, Len's from Cleveland, right?
Won the championship. You know, I didn't do this to upset Len. I got this hat a week ago from a friend of mine who actually went to the finals. I'm not even cool enough to go to games like that, but she doesn't care about basketball as much as I do, so she gave this to me as a gift. And
you know, on any other Friday, I would have on a Cleveland hat, so it's...
Sorry.
It's all right.
Hey, I'm surprised none of you have a Despacito hat, as it is now officially the most viewed YouTube video of all time, stealing the title from Wiz Khalifa. See you again. No longer. Size third. Size Gangnam Style. That's old. That's old news.
Poor Wiz. Has anyone gotten a hold of him?
We should reach out.
Okay?
Yeah. We'll have Roger get on that and let you know if we hear back from Wiz Khalifa on how things are going. Meanwhile, let's start with a few tech things you should know. The FBI arrested Marcus Hutchins, a.k.a. MalwareTech, yesterday. We mentioned that on the show. Thursday, he was arraigned on charges of creating and distributing the Kronos banking Trojan. Hutchins asserted his Fifth Amendment rights against self-incrimination. So not a lot of statements from him other than yes or no, Your Honor.
It's kind of hard to know. You know, when you know how to find things, you probably know how to distribute things as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, The Guardian has a couple quotes from security researchers saying, investigating a Trojan could appear to the uneducated eye as contributing to it in certain cases. So we'll see.
All right, moving on. Pictures of Microsoft's Larry Herb, a.k.a. Major Nelson, as you may know him, appeared on Reddit showing him testing Spotify on the Xbox. A source told The Verge that such an app is being tested internally and should arrive soon.
Oh, well, okay. It's been on the PlayStation for a couple of years, so it'll make it to the Xbox.
Yeah. I don't use Spotify, nor do I have an Xbox, but I'm sure there are a lot of happy people out there.
Now, here's some more top stories. Anuj Sharma, Lenovo's Indian head of marketing, told Gadget360 that starting with the K8 Note, Lenovo's going to start shipping their phones with stock Android instead of the Vibe UI skin. Sharma said the change is due to customer request and should allow for speedier updates. Lenovo-owned Motorola has used mostly stock Android since the launch of the Moto X. I like this trend. More stock installations of Android, please.
I love the explanation, too. It was like, what prompted the change? Customers requesting it,
people wanting it.
They've been doing since the beginning of Android.
People hating our UI. I think Samsung and HTC, to a certain extent, are the only skins that I hear people defending, saying, oh no, they do a better job of this and that.
Yeah. Moving on, Coinbase has decided to support the Bitcoin fork Bitcoin Cash by January 1st of next year. Customers with Bitcoin stored at Coinbase will be able to withdraw Bitcoin Cash. And when the fork occurred on August 1st, holders of Bitcoin became able to claim an equivalent amount of Bitcoin Cash if exchanges supported it. Now, Coinbase has not decided whether or not to support Bitcoin Cash trading. May happen, may not. Coinbase only supports trading for Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Litecoin currently.
A lot of people have said, ah, Coinbase has changed their mind on the Bitcoin Cash fork. I don't see it that way. To me, this looks like Coinbase saying, all right, fine. We get it that you're upset that you should have, let's say you have 5 Bitcoins stored with Coinbase. You should also have 5 Bitcoin Cash at this point. We're going to let you have those cash. We're not going to stop you from having that. So you can withdraw it and do whatever you want with it. But we're not going to get into trading yet. Coinbase, this move seems like a way to appease some of its customers and keep them from withdrawing their Bitcoins.
Right.
But not encouraging the fork, which I feel like they're pretty firmly against.
It's hard to keep track of cryptocurrency in general. Yeah. That's my, you know, I actually belong to this Slack channel that's all about crypto. It actually started as like just a regular nerd channel. Now all we do is talk about cryptocurrency. And so there are folks in that channel that follow this a little bit more closely than I do. But I mean, it changes on a dime, doesn't it?
Yeah, on a coin, on a Bitcoin, on a crypto coin, on a Bitcoin Cash coin, depending on the day.
I gotta get my joke. Shoot.
Yeah, sorry about that. I just couldn't resist. I think it's still too early to tell about Bitcoin Cash. I have not converted my Bitcoin to Bitcoin Cash yet, although there's no hurry, right? I mean, Coinbase is even saying we're not going to do this till January 1st because the two ledgers are the same up until August 1st, if your coins are sitting there in the ledger, they'll sit there forever. Even if you get rid of them in Bitcoin, they'll still be there for Bitcoin Cash. So there really isn't a rush for it. And
especially if there are questions of stability.
I mean, it can't hurt to get them, but I don't know if I want to go to the trouble until I'm certain that they're actually worth getting. I mean, right now they're still trading for a couple $100, so... Facebook announced it's using its open source Cafe 2 deep learning framework to perform more than 4.5 billion translations a day on Facebook. All machine translation models at Facebook have now been changed from phrase-based, which translates individual words or sometimes phrases, to neural models, which can translate a whole block of text at once. So the neural model can tell context. It can do things like account for your typos, just a better translation.
Sure, and I think it can also better be able to translate things like slang in particular languages that phrase-based learning had not done well before. This is actually kind of interesting. I have a friend who lives in Belgium, and he didn't really speak English, and my French is not great, and we don't really use Facebook to communicate, but Google Translate quite a bit, and Google Translate, as I believe, switched over to a neural network earlier this year as well. Mm-hmm. And you know, in the past, half the time my sentence, he'd go, I don't know what you're saying, even though supposedly it was all in French. So this is great. You know, you can truly communicate with somebody a little bit better without knowing the language at all.
More and more all the time. Yeah. And I didn't realize there were that many translations happening on Facebook. I mean, a lot of this would just be somebody shares a story, let's say in Spanish, and you're like, what's that headline in English? Yeah. Stuff like that. Sure. And there's so many people on Facebook. I guess it shouldn't surprise me, but this is the kind of thing that helps machine learning get better when you have data sets to work on that are that large too.
Exactly. The U.S. Senate voted 94-1, so by a landslide, to pass a bill that would allow consumers to purchase certain classes of hearing aids without a prescription. The bill now heads to the president to sign, and he's expected to sign it. The loosening of the restrictions is expected to lower prices of hearing aids by allowing for easier competition. Now, critics say people may not seek medical examinations and misjudge their own hearing needs if they don't have to go to a specialist. You know, I don't know much about hearing aids because thankfully I don't need them yet, but apparently a single hearing aid, and a lot of people with hearing loss need two, is $2,300 on average.
They could be thousands of dollars.
That's more than I thought it would be. I don't know. I feel like hearing aids should be free, quite frankly, but this seems like a step in a really good direction.
Well, first of all, let's just remark that I think this is the second time in a couple months that we've had a tech story that the U.S. Congress has voted on almost unanimously, belying this idea that they never can agree on anything. Apparently, there are a couple things they can agree on. And this is a good one.
How about that?
Yeah, I know, right? That should be news right there. But... I get the opposition to this. I'm mostly in favor of it. I understand that when you go to an audiologist, when you go to the doctor, they can tell you, do I need a hearing aid or do I just have like severe wax buildup? I've had that before where my doctor's like, you want me to clean that out for you? And I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't notice, but I can hear better without that. So And you want to get the calibration to say, this is the kind of hearing aid you need. This is the amount. You don't want it to be too loud. That can damage your hearing. You don't want it to be too soft or then you're wasting your money. So yes, you should seek a doctor, but they're so darn expensive that I think allowing it to be easier for companies to market them and get them on the shelves so the prices come down is super important.
It's also, you know, I doubt that there's a whole lot of hearing aid abuse going on the way that, FDA approved drugs might, it makes a lot of sense. So you've got to go get a prescription and a doctor has to say, yes, you really need this so that you don't, turn into some sort of an addict. It's like, I've never heard of a case where somebody was abusing a hearing aid for the wrong reasons.
And the FDA is still going to be governing the labeling of these things. So I think it's a good compromise to say, let's make sure that what's on the shelf that you can buy is properly labeled so that you as an educated consumer can find the right thing. And then it's on you to, and your doctor to make sure that you're getting the right thing. But, it's a matter of how much do you trust people to make good decisions. Not everybody's going to make the right decision. That's the cost of it. But I think, to me, bringing the price down from $7,000, $2,000 to what they expect to be less than a couple hundred dollars in a lot of cases, and allowing for more innovation. I mean, we heard recently about Apple and the cochlear implant that they're allowing to work with the iPhone. Imagine if you didn't have to do implanted devices, if you could have a lot of other accessories that could work with smartphones and things like that, that could be huge. So I think it's worth trying, and obviously most of Congress agrees.
Yeah, hear the world.
Speaking of hearing aids, scientists at Columbia Engineering published a study in the Journal of Neural Engineering describing a system that combines a little mind reading, sort of, with AI to create a hearing aid that can focus on one particular speaker. That's one common complaint with hearing aids is they make everything loud. And
it becomes, as in human speaker.
Yeah. And it becomes hard for me to actually pick out the person I'm trying to listen to. This system uses a deep neural network, again, to separate speakers in a stream of audio. It's able to identify, okay, that's a particular speaker, that's a particular speaker. That's something that really the human mind is best at. It's been difficult to get computers to do this. So that's their big innovation here, is being able to separate out the human speakers and then combine that with a monitor of your neural processes to match when the speaker you're focusing on is the one that they've identified by the neural network, and then amplify just that speaker.
See,
so it's an assist.
That's where this becomes like magic to me.
Yeah.
Because it's reading what someone's brain is thinking without them somehow, pointing a pointer at the speaker saying, this is the person I want to listen to. It's incredible.
Yeah. And now granted, For the purposes of the study, they were using an invasive technique, and so this is not an off-the-shelf thing right now. There is a non-invasive technique that they discuss in the paper. It's a long way to go before you can make something that even with a doctor's help that you could use, but it's practical. It is something they can do. You just got to do the work to make it easy for people to implement, but the technology works.
I was at a birthday party at a loud Mexican restaurant recently, and friends, like new girlfriend came, and she's sitting there and sort of looking around and smiling and not really saying anything. And I thought, she's not having a good time. And later on, he goes, she has bad hearing and she can't hear anybody in a situation like that where it's loud and a bunch of people are talking. This would be perfect for her.
This would help. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com. It's available as a podcast at DailyTechHeadlines.com on the Amazon Echo, which we're like this close to launching in the UK. We've got the US version and a couple people are testing it out in the UK and it seems to be working. So hopefully by next week that happens. Also, the Anchor app has it. And through the Anchor app, you can get it on the Google Home. So check that out. All right, for our main topic, I want to talk a little bit about Gene M. Twenge's article on The Atlantic called Have Smartphones Destroyed a Generation?
Oh, have they ever?
I'm going to assume that Gene M. Twenge did not write the headline because her article is actually much more measured than that. She is a professor of psychology at San Diego State University, the authoration of Generation Me and iGen. She's a mother of three children. And she did a lot of research into finding out, okay, what is the effect of smartphones on this generation that has grown up never knowing a world without smartphones? And this is something that kind of blew my mind when I started thinking about it. I'm like, oh, right. You know, I think of the millennials as like, oh, millennials, they never knew a world without the internet, right? There are people who are in their teens now who's always had smartphones in their lives.
Sure.
She defines this generation as being born between 1995 and 2012. So these are people who, when they were getting into high school, the first iPhone came out.
Gosh, can you imagine that? It's interesting because some of these stats are, I guess they're not so surprising because I hear, especially from friends who are teachers, oh, you know, you got to figure out, you know, how to keep the kids off their phones and to not cheat during tests and to pay attention and all that stuff. And I just kind of go like, oh my gosh, see, I didn't have a phone until college.
Yeah.
Was when, you know, I got my first cell phone, which was a huge Motorola.
I got my first cell phone in 1999.
Well, for me, it was probably about 1996. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was kind of, you know, I felt like I was real cool at the forefront of technology.
Yeah, right.
But you know, it wasn't a smartphone, that's for sure. You know, you made calls and that's all you did. But now, apparently, in 2012, the percentage of U.S. owning a smartphone passed 50%.
Well, that's for everybody.
Population passed 50%. And then if you're studying the generation, as you mentioned, Tom, between 1995 and 2012, you know, 3/4 of teens in the U.S. own an iPhone. Now, that surprises me. I would have for sure thought it would be an Android phone because
cheaper.
You can get an Android phone for a lot cheaper.
But you know, they might be getting the free iPhone with service, which you can get still.
Or the 90,
you know, couple generations out. Sure. But if I've got a child who's demanding an iPhone and I go and I'm like, well, I can get this one for free, so at least they'll have an iPhone, right? that could explain that. Number does seem high to me too.
It's kind of like, you know, my friend in high school that had a Mercedes, but it was like a really beat up 1978 old Mercedes with the bumper falling off. So it's like, sounds cool, but it wasn't really very fancy.
So 12th graders in 2015 were going out less often than 8th graders did as recently as 2009. This is one of the stats that Gene Twenge was looking at. Only about 56% of high school seniors in 2015 went out on dates. For baby boomers and Gen Xers, that number was about 85%. Also, fewer teens working. In the 1970s, 77% of high school seniors worked. In 2010s, that's become 55% of high school seniors. Now, some of this is maybe not attributable to smartphones. Some of it is. But she's saying, even if it doesn't have to do with smartphones, the fact that you've got people going out less means they're spending time alone with their phone. And that's having some positive effects. It's having some negative effects. So on the positive side, because they're putting off getting driver's licenses. I remember when I was a kid, like, you wanted a driver's license the minute you could get it. Kids are kind of being nagged by their parents to get a driver's license so the parents can stop driving them around. But that means you're less likely to get into a car accident.
I'm not wanting a driver's license on my 16th birthday. But
one in four teens do not have a driver's license at the end of high school in the U.S.
I don't know how smart. Yeah, I don't know how you link that to smartphones. Except maybe it's just you want and need to get out less because you've got everything at your fingertips and you can sit on your couch or in your bedroom or at a friend's house or something like that.
Yeah, it's anecdotal, but fewer car accidents because of that. Fewer alcohol related ills happening in this teen group. Again, because they're staying in more often. Number of sexually active teens has been cut by almost 40% since 1991, and that means the teen birth rate hit an all-time low in 2016, down 67% since its modern peak. I remember when I was in high school, the angst parents had. How can we teach kids abstinence? How can we teach kids, you know, to be safe and responsible? Apparently give them smartphones.
Now, is this, you know, not to get too graphic or anything, but is this because of the stuff that you can find on the internet now that might satisfy teens' interests now?
I don't know. I mean,
it's got to be part of it, right?
It could be, but you could make an argument that that might make them more willing to experiment with the real thing.
True.
So
that's true.
I don't know. I don't know.
Either.
The one thing that she can say is that teen depression has risen since 2011, and the amount of unhappiness that teen self-reports correlates to screen time. Now she's very careful to say, we don't know that it's causation. Maybe because you're depressed, you go use your phone more. But she says it is significant, and there have been a little bit of work with college students saying that those who stop using Facebook or report less use of Facebook have actually seen their mood improve versus those who don't. So there may be something to it. There needs to be more research done there, though. The amount of times that people spend as a teen with their friends on a daily basis has dropped 40% between 2000 and 2015. And since 2017, the homicide rate among teens has declined, which that's a good thing, but the suicide rate has increased. And in fact, in 2011, the suicide rate amongst teens passed homicide for the first time. And 57% more teens were sleep deprived in 2015 than in 1991. Again, which could be attributed to some of the findings that looking at a phone before you go to sleep causes you to have worse sleep.
You know, before the show, I kind of made a joke like, this sounds like me. Maybe I'm a millennial. But, you know, the negatives, I think resonates certainly with me, even though I'm quite out of this age group. Not so much, you know, depression necessarily, but it's true that people like to offer up their best self on social networks, particularly on the internet. And it can make other people feel inferior. I think we've all felt that way. You know, somebody's having a great vacation. I go, I wish I was there. Their life is so perfect.
Right, because you may be in a disaster zone, but you find the one palm tree with a blue sky behind you to take your selfie, right? And it looks great.
Right, exactly. And we've also heard about bullying online and suicides that have come about because of that. And you know, again, it's you know, being bullied can happen anywhere, but it's just so much easier to reach people this way. And you are still very malleable and susceptible to.
Oh yeah.
To, you know.
And the escape from bullying used to be going home. If you're in your bedroom with your phone on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat, and you can't pull yourself away, you can be excluded 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Exactly. The sleep deprived part of this, you know, it makes perfect sense to me. I think we've all stayed up a little too late, you know, playing around on whatever, or actually doing real work on the internet and going like, holy crap, it's 5 a.m. What happened?
Yeah, yeah.
Just because it's addictive and it's a time waster at times and it can get away from you. So that doesn't surprise me. And also there's that whole, you know, the type of light, you know, that's actually hitting
the
your face.
The blue light versus the orange
light.
Yeah,
that it's actually kind of screwing up your circadian rhythms,
could
too.
Could be, yeah. I look at this and I think that, you know, and I feel like she's very careful to say, hey, this is correlation. We don't have causation yet, but there is good reason to suspect there might be causation, and so we should study it and be careful with it. I think this is interesting because this is the first generation that has ever grown up with smartphones. Therefore, the parents don't have like, well, when I was young, here's how I dealt with this kind of isolation. This is how I dealt with online bullying. Hey, let me make sure that you're not spending too much time on social networks. Let me advise you as a good parent, you know, ways to manage your social networks, because we don't know. None of us know. We haven't existed in this world before. And a lot of parents don't use social networks. And if they do, they certainly don't use them in the same way as teens. When these teens get older, though, and to a certain extent, millennials now as parents can say, oh, yes, I know what you're going through. I was there, too. And I think that that will help a lot. But right now, like everything that's new, like when we were looking at cable television and MTV growing up, parents are like, I don't understand. There used to be only three channels. What is this?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the comparison that I could make is when I was growing up, there was only so much TV I was allowed to watch. And there were only certain kinds of shows that I was allowed to watch, you know, unless my parents weren't home or something. And that was just the rule because they felt like it would rot my brain, you know, if there was too much of it. But social networks aren't like that. You know, if you're okay, let's say I'm a parent and I say you can only be on Facebook for 2 hours a day and then I'm going to take away your phone and then you don't have access to it anymore. Well, when they get it back, there's all these messages that they can catch up on. It's not as if it's a television show that's either you're either watching it
I hadn't even thought of that. You're causing stress by making them miss out too sometimes.
Kind of, yeah,
because then they have to catch up. Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's like, I missed this when it was in real time and I hate you, Mom. So, and it's a whole night.
I just want to add this. Being online, and I don't think it's specifically smartphones, I think it is connected apps, specifically social networking and messaging apps, is that that's kind of where children today, at least in that cohort that's described in the article, is socializing, right? Back in my day, we socialized before school, during recess, after school, and on the weekends. But they were because of physical distance, right? You couldn't just hop over to your friend's house whenever you wanted to until you got a car, right? Until all these other things that we reminisce about. It's so much faster, so much quicker. And I think a lot of that depression is that it's very easy to feel isolated online. And I think that's, and this is my totally uneducated objective view, is that because it's so easily, you getting the highs are much quicker, but getting the lows are much quicker as well. And so you kind of have a group of children who may not understand emotionally what's happening, like why they feel like all this is the end of the world. I have no more friends.
And the impulse might be to like limit their time, take away the social, take away the phones. But what you really need is guidance. And that's really difficult for a parent who's like, I don't understand.
I think you need guidance, but I also think you need to give them, and I'm going to try this with my kid. I'll see how successful I am. Alternative, additional ways to socialize beyond the phone.
Yeah, that's the kind of guidance I'm talking about. Is like, hey, don't limit yourself. Let's find other ways.
It's not so much limiting the phone. It's more about opening up options. Hey, you love sports. There's a great, you know, team that meets up every weekend at the soccer field.
I was thinking of even like encourage your children and their friends online to schedule meetups with each other online. So you're using what they're already using to foster what you're talking about.
I think there's also, there's a sort of layers of context that become problematic, particularly when you're young, but it could happen at any age, really. It's like, you know, if I was 16 years old and someone had a birthday party and I wasn't invited, I'd be bummed about it. You know, I wish I was invited. Why didn't I get invited? Well, now there's 400 pictures on Facebook.
Yeah.
Everybody's tagged. Everybody's smiling, having a great time. It's like, I'm going to feel so much worse because it's just like in my face so much more. But Facebook was designed to do that. Yeah. You know, well, you're supposed to, you know, be categorizing everything.
I think there's, and you know what, I think there's kind of a, I wouldn't say flaw, but a kind of a fallacy implied in that to be successful, you need a lot of friends.
Right.
And as we've known, we know people in our lives, and me, myself personally, that growing up, I didn't actually have a lot of friends, people I would go over to to their house, or they would call me, like, at most maybe 5 or 6, but nothing beyond that, right? Everyone else was just sort of an acquaintance or a classmate, someone I maybe talked to about a test or a subject, but I wasn't like, oh, we're real friends, you know, let's change clothes or share jackets or something weird.
Okay.
I don't know.
I was with you right up to that, but yes, right. You have a limited set of friends.
Yeah. But I think that by watching that, there's kind of an implied message. That person is so successful. Look how many friends they get.
And that goes back to what I'm saying about guidance, is that, you know, some of the best moments of parenting that I experienced as a child was my grandparents sitting me down and going, hey, that thing you think is important, it's not important, right? And you need somebody trusted to tell you, like, hey, having the most friends on Facebook is not the most important thing. Now, kids may or may not listen, but right now it's not something that parents naturally are going to think to say in a lot of cases.
It's interesting because I remember one speech talk that my counselor gave me. It's like, you know, I tell this to all the graduating students. One of the things you really need to be comfortable with is yourself and being able to live with yourself, you know, be by yourself alone, like having social time, but being understanding how to be constructive and how to be, you know, how to have a normal behavior when you're by yourself, right? So you're not always constantly needing other people. It's not to say that you shove people out of the way. It's that you don't need a constant person by your side 24/7, right? There were big stretches of time, and I had a roommate who had very, very, a very long and difficult period because he just had very deep-seated issues about not being constantly surrounded by other people, right? And so it's like, dude, you got to learn how to be able to kind of do your own thing and be happy with it, not to feel like, oh, this is what losers do, or I don't have any friends, that's why I'm by myself. It's like, no, it's not everyone's schedule syncs up and not everything works out so you're always constantly with your friends. Sometimes you just need to be with yourself, those kind of things.
Well, thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com and facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. Couple of emails. Robert from sunny San Diego is on it. He says, hey, Tom, Sarah, and Len. Quick note on Apple scrambling to release the next iPhone. Having been in commercial tech manufacturing for almost a decade, I can attest to one fact. Even the slightest change to a product can have unanticipated results. That they might be having difficulties with minor changes to the iPhone is no more surprising than any problem they might have with major changes. Long story short, if Apple's scrambling, it really tells us nothing about their kind of changes to come. And Sarah Lane, I miss you, Sarah Lane, in all caps.
Oh, well, thank you.
He says, I know you probably have some really cool project going on that I was unaware of. Maybe Tom will be chivalrous enough to allow you to tell us about it.
For once, you know, can Tom just be chivalrous? thank you very much. Do we want to address the iPhone issue first? You know, I'm excited about the iPhone 8 because my 7 Plus has a cracked screen. You can't really see it, but it does. My 6 Plus did as well. Should probably get a case one of these days. So I'm going to get it, and I hope it's not delayed. That's all I can say about that.
Yeah, there will be one. Whether it's the one that's been rumored, whether it's the one Apple originally intended, is a whole different thing. But yeah, I will try to be chivalrous and let you talk about what's going on a little.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay. I think you would call me a sort of an independent host and producer at this point. I'm working on a new podcast, actually. I tweeted about it the other day, actually, and I'm really excited about it. And it's a behind the scenes thing. I'm producing it for someone else. And we're still in our infancy, so we're not totally ready to launch the whole thing yet. We've got some stuff to do, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's an audio podcast, so you wouldn't see me anyway. But you might hear me pop up every now and then. So that's what I've been working on most recently. I'm also working on a feature film called Baby Gangsta. You might have seen me post about it on Facebook. If you haven't, you can go and see some highlights, some behind the scenes stuff. We shot some footage recently. Totally different arena for me. I've never worked on a movie, certainly not this closely before. And it's a sort of a departure from the tech stuff that I do every now and then, which has been really refreshing. Life in LA, what can I say?
Fantastic. I hope this means that you have more time to show up here too.
Anytime. This is super fun. I had a great time.
Twitter.com/Sarah Lane or about.me/Sarah Lane if you want to keep up with what Sarah's up to. Len Peralta, what have you been up to this episode?
Well, you know, I wanted to chime in, but I thought it might be best for me to hold off till the very end of this. You know, of course, those who know me know that I have a lot of children. Right now, I've got 4 teenagers that are going through sort of what this is Hall talking about with the smartphone and stuff like that. I actually have a sophomore in high school who this drawing is based on, sort of, not entirely, but he has a problem with screen time. But the one thing that got me in that article was the talk about, you know, people, you know, how they feel alone, how they feel left out. And that's what this sort of, this image sort of talks to, you know, using the Facebook like. It's asked, does anyone like me really? A lot of times I feel alone. I often feel left out. I wish I had more real friends. I don't like feeling this way. I don't like feeling alone. Do you follow? Using the little follow thing. Will you reach out to me or you just let me like?
Wow, that is so good.
And
Len.
Then there's a sad face on the bottom.
Yeah, you know, some of the things that we've done just real quickly is do what Roger was saying, is give them other options. Like we have game nights and we're setting them up via their phone, you know, things where, you know, we can get them out to do things or, you know, and you know, some kids are a little bit better than others and need a little more guidance and a little more help with their with managing their free time. So that's an important thing to know as you're moving into taking care of teenagers and beyond as well. So, but anyway, this image is available at my online store, lenperaltastore.com. You can also back me at Patreon, patreon.com/Len, at the DTNS lover level, and you can get this immediately as a digital file. So there you go.
Well, yeah. I just liked this on Twitter. I don't know what kind of irony that is, but it's really a beautiful image.
Yeah, go look at this. Anybody who's at all interested in that topic that we were talking about today, go take a look at lenperaltastore.com just to see it. It's really well done, Len. Nicely done.
Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks to everybody who gives a little value back to this show for the value they get from it. It's why we're able to do it. That includes Travis Height, Bill Bagwell, Willem Reyners-Tay, and many, many more. If you're someone who's helping us out on Patreon or PayPal or in any other way, give yourself a pat on the back and thank you for making it possible at patreon.com/DTNS. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And our website is dailytechnewsshow.com. Back on Monday with Veronica Belmont. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Boom.
Yeah.
Good show.
Good show.
That was awesome.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was really
and
fun.
Great art, Len. Just really
thanks.
Good.
Thanks.
It actually looks like a book cover. Like,
yeah. Like, yeah. Well, I've been doing a lot of those this summer. But this, you know, it's funny. The this is actually sort of based on my sophomore age son. Not that he's as bad as this, but
yeah,
you know,
sure.
it can get you know, it's like some days I'm like I don't even see him till he comes around. It's time to eat something. It's like, what have you been doing? You've been on your phone the whole day. Like, you know, why don't we do something? Why don't we get out? But I figured let's give him the summer off. He's gonna have a lot of things coming up when school starts in a couple weeks, and he's of the age. You know, I mean, I guess yeah. You gotta pick your battles. You know what I mean? Like. For people that have teenagers and things like that, it's not only working with them and being involved in their lives as much as you can, but also kind of giving them the chance to just sort of like chill out and be on the phone and stuff like that. As long as you kind of keep like a you understand kind of where they're at and you can. You're not completely in the dark about their lives. I think that's it's one thing.
I mean, those are the universal principles of good parenting that you espoused right there. Whether for the phone or whatever the next AR headset that all the kids are wearing or whatever comes down the pike, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's pretty important to. Yeah, I mean, it's a constant battle and it's a constant struggle, And but hopefully they'll, you know, they won't go off the deep end. It's hard though, man. These kids, they're living their lives. I was talking to my son, my older son, last night, like, how do you interact with an Instagram? Because I was watching him, like, on Instagram, and he just goes like, he's just liking pictures. Like, what is your criteria for liking something? Like, yeah. What is it? He's like, I don't know, if I just like it. I'm like, yeah, but what is that? Like, I don't understand it. Like, are you curating something? Like, what is it? So is this kind of like a different mindset as to how they're approaching smartphones?
Well, I can't imagine. I mean, I find myself like, oh, that's Eileen's friend started a Korean beauty Instagram. I'm going to like it just to show support. And then suddenly my Instagram feed is full of Korean beauty. And I'm like, wait a minute. I was just being nice.
Right. It also messes up your explore tab. You know, if that's the place that you want to hang out, there are people that I know for whatever reason where it's like, again, it's sort of a polite like.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and follow you. It's the polite. And you know, my explore tab now, I'm like, what are all these classic cars?
Right, exactly.
We've got some amazing titles here. Yeah,
we have Millennials Phone It In, Generation Text, Lenovo TikTok of Android. Can you hear me now and not him? Back in my day, ellipses, Blame of Phones, All About Crypto. It changes on a bit dime. Doctor's approval unwarranted for hearing aids. Smartphone prone, right here, right now, right here, right now.
I like left to their phone devices, actually.
Left to their phone devices.
Left to their phone devices. That's a cool one.
Yeah.
Want to cry, Savior wants to cry. I think we kind of did something like that yesterday.
Yeah, that feels left over somehow.
Will smartphone generation hear us? A generation of our phone making.
Mm-hmm.
I'll vote for that.
I don't get that one.
Our own making, a generation of our own making.
Because it rhymes. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Hey, speaking of kids and everything, my youngest daughter is going to leave on a farm this weekend, and she's downstairs, so I got to say goodbye.
Oh, she hasn't left yet. Okay, yeah.
No. She hasn't left. I hear them downstairs, so I'm going to say.
That we said have a great time.
Yeah.
Yes, I will. I will.
Make sure
will.
You never stand behind a horse. It's a very bad idea.
Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Sarah, it was great seeing you again. Take care.
It was great seeing you, too.
You got to come out on Fridays. Fridays is when I'm here, so if you can make it on Fridays, that's the fun day.
Honestly, anytime I'm free, I'm happy to join. It's like old times again. It feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels really good.
Playing the Excellent. Part right. of Ayaz Akhtar is Roger.
Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
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 So what do you think for the title?
You liked Millennials Phone It In?
No, I liked Left to Their Phone Devices. Millennials Phone It In is missing on two parts. One is it's not about millennials. It's about the generation younger than them.
And it's not phoning.
And then phoning it in kind of feels like it's more critical.
I like a generation of our phone making, but left to their
That's
phone
not bad.
Devices
I like that
also
too.
Works. They're both from Dark Redeemer, so it's not like we're going to offend them, one or the other.
Do you like any of these, Sarah?
My Slack channel folks are like, you talked about us. the cryptocurrency, or someone in the group was watching anyway.
That's funny. Hi.
Hi.
Showbot.tv. If you want to see the titles, which one did you like? Generation of our phone making is Rogers. I like.
See, that one's so clever that I didn't get it, and you had to explain it to me. So
I like.
I don't know.
Which one did I like?
Left to their phone devices.
Yeah.
Could you spell it like phown? Like pwn? Was that just too much?
I think that might confuse it even more.
Okay, all right, fine.
Because then people think, oh, left they're pwning their devices.
Right, yeah. Left to their phone devices is pretty good.
All right.
I mean, that was the discussion story anyway.
Yeah,
more
yeah.
or less.
It was. It was indeed. All right, done. Left to their phone devices. And Dark Redeemer, who submitted 3,412 titles, all of them good, is the author of that one. Coinbase to customers fork you. I didn't see that one. That's hilarious.
Well, Well, but they're not really, well.
You know, I guess we didn't make it clear when we were talking about teens. These are not millennials. I see a couple of these headlines are like, millennials doing this. I'm like, no, these are younger than millennials. There's really no settled name for them. I see them called Generation Z sometimes.
What happens? But
you know, I may have accidentally said millennial when I was comparing myself. Notice. So, you know, but yeah, that's true. I mean, millennials are 20-somethings, right?
Yeah, the millennials are sometimes 20s. The parents of these kids.
Millennials are should be in their late 20s or early 30s.
Right.
Gen Y is the same as millennials, right?
Yeah. But they changed that term so, because millennial was a right. broader.
And so the next generation we're talking about is Gen Z.
Who is they anyway? Who makes up these
I know, terms? Right? Is there
you know? That show
the International Consortium of...
Right, yeah. It's like top-level domain for age groups.
There should be a working group to name the generations.
You know, there's always a name for them, but they always come after that cohort sort of... starts
well it's funny yeah because we were called boomlets or
we were called boom no we weren't echoes were we boom we were
echoes yeah but there were a bunch of names until Generation X caught and then that became the name
and that was and then already
the next generation was Generation Y just because it was after X until millennials came along
so
are you a millennial or a Gen Y
who
oh Lucy
oh Gen Lucy I was like, why, thank you, Sarah, but I'm neither.
Lucy.
Generation app.
Lucy, my cat, is 10, so I guess she's, you know. She's,
yeah.
She's never known a life without smartphones either.
That's right. She's a Gen Z.
She's right in the demo.
Generation insecure. I don't know. What would you call
it? I like the iGen, but then I stuff kind of sounds... Old-fashioned, yeah.
Sounds like an old man. Them rock and roll kids.
So why, during the show, could I not see program out? Or is that just not something that we see anywhere?
What do you mean?
You know, like as we switched back and forth between our cameras.
Well, so
you
the weren't way seeing that? Google Hangout works is it automatically switches to whoever's talking.
But mine didn't do that.
It didn't switch to Len and me when we were talking?
Wait, no. Who do you see right now on the screen?
Well, first of all, I wasn't really watching it because I was looking at the screen.
Well, that would be why then, because you were looking at it.
Wait.
No, but I am now.
What are you looking at on the screen? What shows up on your the Google Hangout screen for you right now?
Well, it's you if I click on your little...
Yeah, don't click on the squares on the bottom.
But I don't, you know, it's...
If you click on, say, Tom's face... His face will show up all the time. So what you want to do is make sure none of those faces in the corner are selected.
One of them always was since we connected.
So is there a white square or white border around any of the faces?
Well, there's one around me because I've selected myself.
So don't select yourself. The Google Hangout will auto-select.
Oh, mother F. So all I had to do was click again. All right. Yes. Now I know.
That would be why.
I don't hang out in Google Hangouts all that often. But, you know, it was actually good because it can be a little distracting anyway to be, you know, seeing yourself. So, it was fine. I was like, I know that there's a way that.
Yeah. You just I've done that before, too, where I've accidentally clicked on something and forgot.
Yeah.
Oh, Dark Redeemer says the next generation will be Generation Poop Emoji. I think a generation that seems a little critical of the generation, frankly. But I think an emoji as the name of a generation is a probability.
What's the
generation
what's the
shrug?
What's the group in Japan that are like total shut-ins, like they never come out of their rooms? There's a term.
Didn't know that that was.
No, I've
that.
Heard of this, but I don't know what the name of it is.
It's not like somebody who has agoraphobia. It's like a lifestyle choice.
It's people who they're not shut-ins is the wrong word because that is a clinical that can be used in a clinical sense. But these are people who are just like, I don't really want to go out.
Okay, so it's hikikomori, literally pulling inward, being confined, a reclusive adolescents or adults who withdraw from social life. Often seeking extreme degrees of isolation and confinement.
Thank you, Krug.
Interesting.
What generation will Roger C's kid be called? Generation Awesome?
Generation Winners.
Wins. All the win. Nah, I'm going to do this typical Chinese parenting thing and browbeat them throughout life so they'll have a healthy, cynical view of their self-image.
Do you need to browbeat them, or is that genetic?
That's just what happens. What? You got a 98 on this test. What Why
didn't
the other
you get a
99? Points? Your cousin got 100. How come you didn't? Because I'm not my cousin.
My parents were pretty strict about that stuff. But it was more like A's and B's. They didn't look at scores. They just expected A's, and if I didn't get an A, that was a disappointment.
Disappointed me, Tom.
I remember A's and B's were the only thing that were acceptable in my house, where we're going to have a problem. But mm-hmm. I remember going to college where it's like, you don't live at home and, you just kind of like, your parents aren't like getting copies of your report cards, you know? I remember I got a C in a class that I had taken that like I thought I would like, and I just ended up not really liking it, and it's like passing. It was an elective or something, and thinking like, God, I got away with murder because they're never going to know.
Yeah. Oh, I the few times I got C's, I was afraid to let my parents know because I knew they were angry. B's were like, well, you can do better. We're not going to be mad, but you were disappointed.
Yeah.
C's were like, time to sit down and have a serious conversation about
you
what happened.
You want to be satisfactory in your life, Tom?
Yeah. There were no C's in my, in fact, I remember friends, D's and F's, that's a whole other thing, but like friends who were kind of like C's across the board. And I was like, your parents like aren't mad? And they were like, it's average.
Yeah.
We're just fitting in.
No, I lived in deathly fear of getting a D. I didn't know what would happen if I ever got a D.
And I
got
a couple. Yeah, I understood just, the purpose of a D.
Just combusted.
Like, to me, it just seemed like a folksier way of saying you flunked.
We had an F too.
Failed, but you're below average.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's almost worse.
Just seems like after C, it's just like there was just a giant, like, well, there's no coming back from that.
And they defined F. I remember in the 70s, they changed F because it went on my report card from being failure, to being something else.
Needs improvement?
It was flunk.
Oh, no, I know what it was. Yeah, you're right. They changed it from F to I.
What?
For a brief period of time in elementary school, it became you get an I, which meant needs improvement.
Oh.
Or improvement needed, I guess, because it was I.
There was also, again, this is college. You weren't allowed to do this in high school, but it was like if you started a class and you were like, ooh, I don't know. I don't feel super confident that I'm going to do well. You could choose to pass or fail rather than get the grade.
I remember that. That was college, though, right?
It was, and it gave you it was like you got fewer points, like elective, towards graduation. But it could save you from basically getting a really bad grade.
Because it didn't hurt you.
Because all you had to do was pass.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have did that. I tried to drop my philosophy of physics class. It was totally not what I thought it would be. And I was just so bored. I had to write all these papers I didn't care about.
Yeah, I definitely made some mistakes. I at one point, I don't know, like maybe I wanted to like have a free gym membership or something. And so I took like a physical class.
Yeah.
And I remember like running around the track and just being like, this is a nightmare.
I took several coaching strategies classes, which I later felt like I was cheating because it was just teaching you about sports and I already knew about sports.
Cooking strategies?
Coaching.
Coping. Coaching. I thought you meant coping, cooking. Like it was too much.
No, coaching. Like coaching of baseball, coaching of volleyball, coaching of basketball.
Tell them to do this and see if they do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were kinesiology classes.
That sounds kind of fun.
They were super fun. Kimberly, the Texas teacher, wrote in about our discussion of ethics of friendship between creators or creator reviewers on Wednesday And she said, you hit it on the head, transparency. I love the different levels of geeking out you all do with different guests. Not as much on DTNS, but cord killers. Brian practically bounces out of his seat. Sword and laser, current geek, weird things, etc. I feel I have a window into this cool, creative community and love how you all help each other out. When you all disagree, it's professional and respectful. You all seem to seek out different viewpoints on many various subjects, and you keep it about the ideas, not personal attacks. I've actually suggested East Meets West to my high school social studies history government teacher friends as an example for students in how to discuss issues with respect.
Wow. We do that respectfully?
I guess so. More so than others.
Man, that must be a complete like block of tofu at parties. It must be the most dispassionate person.
All right, well, we're going to finish our broadcast day. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Goodbye.
Bye.
And thank you, patrons, for listening. As we leave you, Sarah Lane is going to give you this exclusive message off the top of her head.
Spay and neuter your pets.
That's a good one, actually. Yeah.
Have a wonderful Friday, wherever you may be, and stay cool. And I know that there are... This is a terrible message. I know that there are thunderstorms across parts of the U.S., so stay out of the lightning.
Yeah. These are all very important messages.
Thank you. Yeah, I take these seriously.
Feel the pavement before taking your pet on a walk.
That too.
Burns your hand.
Give them little booties.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday.
Bye.